All right, so let me. This is something new in Chumash. I think this is not just repeating stuff I've said before. Some of the things I've said before, you may have been right? But there was some new stuff here, no? Yeah. I don't like to just get everybody together to just repeat things. Okay.
You have a bookmark.
Oh, you have a bookmark?
Well, yes, sir.
Oh, okay, fine. All right, so this is like a small question. I don't think too many people ask this question. Like I said, I have a lot of questions. Like, I hadn't noticed that anybody asked my question about what was this thing about crying. Was that just a fact, or was there an Indian there? I don't know of anyone that asked the question. After Moshe at the snare. Moshe at the snare. Now, I have this connected. I was building a big share, but I'm not going to do a big share now. I'm doing small. Maybe sometime I'll be able to do more of this. I've done a lot of stuff this past year on Moshe at the snare, if you remember. Okay? So after all said and done, and Moshe tries to object, he doesn't want to do the mission, we know that, he has no choice. Hashem sort of forces it down his throat, and then he brings in Aaron to work with him, to be his partner. And okay, that's it, he has no choice. That story itself is fascinating. Okay, but we'll come back to that. Then it says like this, Vayelech Moshe, Vayoshev Eliezer Chosno, Moshe went and he returned to, that's Yisro. Yisro has his name, has a bunch of different names, to his father-in-law. Vayomer lo. Now Rashi says, so we'll go with Rashi, because Rashi says, Vayoel Moshe l'Hashem v'sesso ish. After he married off his daughter, Tzipora, so Vayoel. So Rashi learns Vayoel is an expression of Allah, is a shvuah. So he sort of, Rashi, it's a midrash. He's saying that he took an oath that he would not leave without consulting Yisro. He wouldn't leave from Midian without, all right. Which I understand. I mean, Yisro wanted him around. Yisro, he made Moshe into his Rebbe. He didn't want him just to leave. So now Rashi says, okay. So now he's going to leave. Time to leave. So he has to take Rishus. Okay? So Rashi said, Vayeshev al Yesechos, no? Litol Rishus. To take permission. Sharei Nishbalo, because he swore to him. Okay? He swore to him. So Rashi is saying it's not just a matter of derech eretz. I mean, you can say it's a matter of derech eretz. You shouldn't, if you're living with someone and so on and so forth, and now you're leaving, you shouldn't just leave. You know, you should take your leave. It's called taking your leave. Okay? That, you know, you sort of pacify the person, so on and so forth. Okay. So he says, El Chana, let me please go. You see, El Chana, no is an expression of please. So apparently he has a certain control over him. I'll return to my brothers in Mitzrayim. And I'll see if they're still alive. And Yisro says to Moshe, Lech Lishalom. Okay, that's a key, right? Take a big share that Lech Lishalom, not Lech Bisholom. There's a difference about that. But that's not our topic right now. Okay? So, what does that mean? I'll go see if they're still alive. What do you mean? Did they die? Your Choshesh, you don't have to go to see if they're still alive. You can send a letter, you know? Right? Something like that. Are they still alive? It sounds lame. Let me put it that way. Now, I don't think he means literally alive. He means what's their matzav, you know? Like, somebody could be dead already. Kind of dead. Not physically dead, but the walking dead. Right? Zombies, the walking dead. They're not alive anymore in a real, right, sense. So that's basically what he's saying, but it doesn't seem to me like a very strong, what's going on over here? But the big question is, why didn't he have a perfect excuse? Why didn't he tell him, Hashem spoke to me. I'm not have to go. God told me to go. All right? That is like the best reason. You have the best reason. Okay? What's up? It's funny? What's up?
No, it's good.
Yeah. You have the best possible reason. I don't know if anyone else. You have the best possible excuse. Okay? So what do you use something which is not a good excuse? Right? If you had to go there and you couldn't take your wife and kids with you, right? So you're going to say, no, Hashem told me to go, right? Clearly, you're going to give the good, right? You're not going to use a weekend, you know? Because if you say, so don't go, what difference does it make if you see? You know, like, the reason he gave is not so compelling. Let's say, if he had no choice, I understand. Right? But if he has a choice, and he has a perfect explanation, why not? So that's my question. That's like the big question of the day, because it's just so totally new. I have not shared this with anyone. You will be the first to know. I have to instruct you. I have to be mashbi that you shouldn't tell anybody. Then I can't get it over. So I see it never occurred to you, this question. The first thing is a question. You should ask whatever question. You should learn fresh. Like this is the first time and you're the only one that's studying it. You shouldn't be intimidated that you can't ask good questions. And no matter how ridiculous it may seem, if it is, it is. There may be an answer, there may be an answer. There may not be an answer. If we ask this question, is it possible for someone today to ask a question, whether it's Gemara, whether it's something that has never been asked before? Well, we say, no, it's how could that be? The greatest Talmid Chacham over thousands of years have poured through it. And how is it possible? You have a question, though. Okay, yeah, most probably it's a good question that's been asked, but it's possible. It's possible that this was not it. Because people come to it with a certain perspective. A lot of people may not be interested in this kind of question. And, you know, it's like, because a lot of times you'll ask your questions and people will just knock it off. They don't see the possibilities in the question. Okay. I'm sorry, who wanted to speak?
So I'm just thinking, why would maybe you assume that he felt that he would not, either A, he would not believe him. That seems to be like, oh, Hashem came to you in a burning bush. You're probably insane. So maybe that even though that is the most objectively the most strongest claim, Yester would not buy it, and therefore he had to go with something that more familiar. I want to know about mishpacha. I'm having a sentimental moment, whatever. So that people understand. I miss the family, but the creator of the universe came to me in a vision, saying that I have to go rescue the Jewish people. That seems to be a little bit.
And leave my family behind.
And leave my family. All right, exactly.
Actually, it seems he took his family. Then he
took him.
Right,
took him and then sent back. But even still, like, it seems to be like you would argue that he didn't say it because it would not be received. It would be not believed.
Okay, I hear that. So if I want to hear the others, Leslie, I think you had an answer.
That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. As far as that's concerned, that kind of an answer is possible. But I would not... I'm sorry?
Yitro's Moshe's Talmud.
Correct.
Moshe says God told me something. Yitro's going to tend to...
Yeah. Then you'd have to say that... you have to say that Yitro simply was on a level that he could accept the factor of Nevuah. Okay? You can say that, but I don't sense that. I sense... that if he wanted to tell him that, he would have told him that there's such a thing as Nevuah, which Yisroel shouldn't have that much difficulty accepting, and that he would have explained and that he had Nevuah. And I don't look at it as being something that's too far-fetched, that he couldn't simply think he's crazy, put him in the loony bin. Not a man like Yisroel, as we subsequently see. We subsequently see that Yisroel... that Yisroel came and he heard and he praised God. So you don't get that sense. Anybody else here? Anybody else here? I don't think we discussed that on your famous visit to Jerusalem. Okay?
I don't know, maybe along the lines. I don't know, I don't have the same answer, but in other words, what Moshe wanted, not that Yisroel would not accept the knowledge that Kodesh Baruch Hu came to Moshe. He would, but just in terms of the best, explanation in Yisro's framework at the time, because of the fact that he just didn't have access to the knowledge of the Hashkafa and all this, that basically the better explanation was the one that Moshe offered, not because he could have given him.
I would think this is the better one because I have no choice. I gotta go. The other one is, you've gone
right,
next to you.
It was completely foreign to Yisro's framework in terms of...
Well, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't so foreign. My sense that it wasn't so foreign. Right. Like he says, he was a student, and the idea is not preposterous that there's such a thing as the Nevuah. He's right. Teaching him about Hashem.
But,
so,
but
sorry?
Maybe it's included. I mean, the idea to see if they're still alive.
Yeah.
Rashi implies spiritually alive. Are they still connected? And so it's
but that doesn't mean I'm going down.
Why did Hashem tell him to go that reason. So they're not completely disparate.
They're not. Yeah, I know, but he couldn't figure that out from that. You know, if you have no other choice, if you have no other choice, it'll work. It's something. Okay, you're concerned about your brothers. You want to try and do something. Start a movement. I mean, we're talking about. We're getting ready for the Geulah. The Geulah's coming.
If anything, Yitzchok Joseph said you're crazy.
I don't think he would say he's crazy. Oh.
No, to go to Mitzrayim and think you're going to...
He might. He said.
New power.
Lech. He said, Lech Lishalom. I hope you're successful. Two piece. You know,
good luck.
Good luck. Good luck. So I want to say, I'll tell you, years ago, over the years, the answer I wasn't never fully satisfied, but the answer I kind of gave was that he wanted the events that happened to make a big impact on Yisrael. Mm-hmm. Okay? And we see that it did subsequently. And if something is going to make an impact upon you, it's better not to tell you in advance. Because once you know already, it sort of lessens the thing. Oh, I knew about it. And then when it actually happens, if you don't know about it, you see? Okay? If you already knew about 9/11, then when it happens, it's not going to have the same effect. It's still going to have an effect, but it's not going to be the same because you're prepared for it already. So therefore, he left it alone. That's an answer I gave over the years. It works. I think I have a better answer. Not that what I'm going to say now doesn't knock that out. I think it's a better answer, though. It's more startling. Okay. Let me ask you a question to answer this question. At this point in time, before now Moshe's finished with the snat, that's over. He's going to Yisro. At this point in time, would you say it was inevitable, it had to happen, the Jews are definitely coming out of Mitzrayim?
No.
Why not? Hashem told them the whole Nebuah at the snat.
You see, even Moshe was disappointed at the first the failure of the first meeting.
Yeah, that's because you happen to be correct. I would say, anyways, it never struck me that way. Yeah, it's got to have to. No, we see it didn't. Even Moshe himself could have died. He almost died on the way there.
Eventually, it didn't have to happen.
Well, that's what he's talking about in the here and now.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't mean historically 100 years later. We're talking in the here and now.
Right.
In the here and now, everything that was worked out in the snat, does that mean it must, for example, it's a very good kasha, if you take the snat, it says that they'll believe you, because Moshe asked all kinds of questions. What's your name? And they won't believe me. You gotta give me a merah. How will I prove that I'm a Navi? And all of that. We've gone through parts of that. It's kedai to do it. I can't, it's too much already. Okay? I was worried I might not have enough material, but we have. I just want to get this point across, though, because this is a new point. You see, a lot of things Hashem says, and they'll believe you. The Zakenim will believe you, right? And then you and them will go to Pharaoh and tell him to let the Jews go. Okay, but when you read it, what happened? They believed him. Did they go with Moshe?
No.
How's that possible, Moshe? What?
They slowly left.
Yeah, find
one
that
by
perfect.
One.
Find that yeah. Perfect by the snap. Okay, I was discussing this with Rabbi Zucker on Friday.
Which one? Which
afterwards, when Hashem tells them they will believe you, right? Then he says that you will go with them. The plan of Hashem was that you will go with them. Clearly that the elders will go. However, when it actually happened, it says that Moshe and Aaron went. It doesn't mention the elders.
Right. First pasuk is Shvi, Be'achar Bavo.
So that's strange. How could it be that Hashem says that they're going to go, but they didn't go?
Right.
How could it be that Moshe is on the way down and then the Malach came by Yavakei Shamiso, sought to kill him?
Right.
And it's only because of Tzipor, Vatichai Tzvaratzor. And she understood it has to do with Mila. She saved his life. Had she not, God, let's say she wouldn't have understood that. Let's say she would not have realized that. Then Moshe dies. Hello, where's the, what happened? So it's not inevitable. We don't want to think about it that way. The natural reaction is to think about that. It's inevitable. Okay? And then you have... You can't find it? And then you have the, like I'm saying, the fact that it didn't work out that way. The Zakenim did not go. Rashi says, Nishmatim, they sort of left, you know, two at a time, one at a time. As it got closer to the palace, they backed off.
Okay.
They came Ocean Arm.
Of all the Zakenim. Nishmatu, Echad Echad, Na'achar Moshe Aaron. Ah, Shnishtamu Kulam, Kodem Shigia Lepaltal.
But get the pasuk which says that they will go.
Earlier, he said.
Earlier, yeah, fine. Please find that pasuk. Please find that pasuk. So the thing is like, but I'll tell you more. Why it's not inevitable. Even without that. Was this something like, see, Kriyas Yamsuf was inevitable. Kriyas Yamsuf was inevitable. Once Hashem said, you guys, all right, stand in a, his Yatsfuru, you don't have to do anything. I'm not asking you to do anything, right? Just watch. That which I'm going to do, for, the fact that you see Mizrahi, you're never going to see them again. Means to say, you're not involved. Means to say, you don't have to exercise Bechira. So therefore, I can safely say, once I heard that pasuk, I can bet, I'll take a bet, any odds, the Jews are going to be saved. You're not going to see them again. Because I know it's going to happen. Because it's not based upon anything the Jews have to do. All right, forget about jumping into the water, you know, okay, fine. But that's a midrash. It's a plain shot. Here, it's not like that. Here, the Jews have to join together with me. Why, for example, Korban Pesach. The Jews were steeped in Avodah Zarah. Korban Pesach. They have to bring the Korban Pesach. They have to undergo Milah, which they hadn't done Milah. They have to, 80% didn't go. That's what Rashi says, Chamushim. 80%, if 80% said no, it's possible that the other 20% could have said no too, or enough. It could have been that there's not enough. In other words, there was no guarantee that it's going to happen. That was Moshe's task. And I think that's why Moshe was very reluctant. How do I know? Mi anochi ki yedecha paro. How do I know how to deal with paro? But if chiyotzi yes b'nei saw. What about that? Rashi says, he's saying, what's their schus? Oh, they have to have schus. What do you mean? It means it's not a foregone conclusion. They have to reach a certain level where they're worthy of it. So Rashi says, the schus is they'll serve me on Har Sinai. Yeah, but Moshe Rabbeinu has the job of getting them into the framework where they'll do that. It means they have to give up a Avodah Zarah. They have to give up a Avodah Zarah. They have to get, that's why they had the Korban Pesach and so on and so forth, the whole transition. But there's a program that the Jews have to participate, and that means they have to exercise Bechira. If they have to exercise Bechira, it may not happen. It is very possible, I'm saying. Ah, so what would be God's ultimate plan? And I don't know. What if Moshe would... Harbishlochem, yeah, that's something else. That's something else. I don't know what the plan would have been. What would have been the? I'll show you. What would have been the plan? And what if Moshe did not intervene by the ego?
Wipe them all out.
Oh, but these people, it's not going to work. So that's a different thing. Who knows what would have happened? And how many years it would have taken? And I'll build up a new say. That's not going to happen overnight. But this plan won't be carried out. The plan that this particular people is going to come to Eretz Yisrael and they're going to know. Because they sinned. So that you can't guarantee. When something depends upon Bechira, how can you guarantee it? You don't know how the other person's Bechira is going to... If you know the other person's Bechira is going to work, then it's not Bechira. Okay? Okay? It's an unknown thing.
That's why he asked about the matzah of the Nizel. Who are they?
Okay. So that's what I wanted to say. Which I think is a bit of a better answer, right? Zucker liked this answer better than the one where I said he wanted it to be an impact. More than that, he couldn't guarantee it. He could not guarantee it, and he didn't want to take that chance. Because if he took that chance and it didn't happen, this is what it would be a Chil Hashem. Okay? So that's at this point in time, Moshe had a job to do. Okay? And you see he had a lot of self-doubt. And you see that again when Paro made it harder. Now you put it in the context. How am I going to get them now? They're completely shattered with the need to have to get their own straw and they have to build the same amount of bricks. How are they going to do the spiritual part? Right. How are they going to trust me? You see? So part of the process is that Moshe at a certain point in time gets, so to speak, the feel of the job. And he can see that how it's going to work. And he has better control over the situation. But again, it's no foregone conclusion. Because when Hashem said, Herif Meni, leave me alone and I'll destroy them, Moshe said, Eino Davato Elabi, it's dependent upon me. Only, what if Moshe hadn't said that? What if that's a tremendous act of courage for Moshe to step forward and start to argue with God that you shouldn't destroy them, and so on and so forth. And what if I fail? And then my intervention, and then God does destroy them. We're reading it in retrospect and everything has to work out. It's like a fairy tale to us. You don't put yourself back in that situation. You got to time travel. In order to study Chumash, you have to time travel. That's a good one. I never said that before. You have to time travel. Get yourself back in Mitzrayim. Get yourself back into the thing. It doesn't have to happen. And that, I think, is the another insight into the situation.
So ultimately, you're saying that Yisrael, that the answer to Yisrael was that, or is it possible to save them? It's basically what he says. I've done it.
Yeah, right. Very low key. Let me see. Right, if they're still alive, and then we'll see. Okay, maybe they're dead already. Maybe they're beyond that point, which is true. Actually, it could be that beyond that point.
Why specifically that? Is there a specific reason?
Why what?
Adam Chaim. I mean, like why?
That's like a good answer. That's a good thing to tell them. I want to see what matzav they're in, and what can we do from there. He shows he's concerned about them, okay? They're my brothers, right? And before I could do anything, I got to first evaluate. So leave it vague. I have to evaluate and see what condition they're in, spiritually as well as physically. Okay, I have some more stuff, but I think that's already. You know, save it for next time. Save it. I don't know when next time is going to be. But no, it's a great idea. As I was saying to Penny, if I was in Phoenix, I could come and say every 3 months or whatever it is, but coming from Israel is a big deal. Okay, so you have to be creative, work it out so that it's not such a difficult thing. I'm willing, I enjoy it, but if it's made a little bit easier somehow or other, then I could come more often. That's all I'm saying.
The cold country was good for a step.